Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little boy named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Thanks for supporting us for the past 100 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page, where you can find out how you can join us for our monthly patron webinar, where we do a deeper dive discussion about all things perimenopause.
The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. I'm so excited to be back again with Dr. Tony. And we decided we're going to talk about trackers, whether it's old school pen and paper, whether it's health trackers using technology. I think this is something we use I know I myself use a lot in my practice, and I think you do as well, Tony. And I was trying to come across a good quote that, you know, set the stage, but I made up my own. If you can track it, you can attack it. I don't know if it's what do you think of that, Tony?
Oh, yes, Lisa, that is motivating.
Because like a lot of times, right, people don't realize, oh, I'm not drinking enough water. I'm not eating enough protein. Oh, I'm not getting enough sleep. Like if we track these things and even fill out, you know, things like a food journal or a hormone journal, you can really start to see trends and patterns. And I think, Tony, we both have a new tech tracker that we're enjoying, right?
Oh, yes, Lisa, I'm loving my Aura ring. And, you know, I was a bit procrastinating when even in getting it, because you need to make sure that you get a good fit for it. It's a ring that you wear around your finger. And ideally, you put it on your index finger. So that took me a little bit of kind of getting used to that idea of having a ring around my finger. And I wanted to make sure it was sized properly so that it was, you know, getting the most accurate information from my finger, which, you know, it really looks at heart rate variability. It even tracks temperature. So it's, you know, it's one of those pieces that, you know, I thought, okay, this is really interesting. You know, there's so many different trackers that you can wear around your wrist, Apple Watch, Fitbit, you know, a number of things around the wrist, you know, which have some questionable accuracy. It's kind of fun to look at, but especially learning about the Aura ring, it was like, okay, this is kind of the level that I wanted to up my tracking game. And, you know, I have been kind of one of those people who have been tracking various things for years. I totally agree, Lisa. It's really key to really see what is actually happening, what is so when it comes to your food intake, your water intake, what's happening with your period, and
what's happening with your poop.
What's happening with your poop? So true. So true. And, you know, my first kind of foray into this idea of tracking, yes, I mean, I definitely inherited the kind of tracking with the calendar of my period when I was young. That was just something that was passed on to me from my mom, you know, when we used to have those little pocketbook calendars.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I was always, you know, circling day one and using the line and that kind of thing. And I found that tracking was incredibly important when I started getting migraines when I grew up, especially because with my migraines, they weren't very cyclical. It wasn't like there was a definite pattern to them. So for me to be able to answer the question when I went to the doctor or when someone asked me, okay, how many migraines did you have last month? You know, our memories aren't reliable. You know, our brains do not work that way where you can think back And we know this. We know this with research. We know this with neuroscience that, you know, one of the least accurate levels of information is to actually have someone think back, you know, a week or a month and tell you what they've been eating or how they've been sleeping. And for me, it was, you know, how many migraines I had had the month before or even the week before. So this is where tracking's super key. The more you can track in time and get that information, the more you can really see what the heck is going on with whatever you're dealing with.
I totally agree. I was old school pen to paper. I was resistant to health trackers, whether it was around my wrist or on my finger. I just wasn't sure about the technology, potentially exposures to electromagnetic radiation. But, you know, I did a bit of reading and I felt comfortable with the Oura Ring, and it's so convenient. Yeah, they actually make it look really nice too. You just have to make sure it's lined up properly. So mine doesn't fit perfectly. So sometimes it shifts around or slides around a bit. It's on my right index finger. So you can tell where it's supposed to rest based on there's like a flat part on the ring and then sensors on the opposite side. So I know in the night, sometimes when I'm sleeping, it'll shift around. So it can't always collect all of my heart rate data, but I'm finding it so intriguing. Like I love every morning, and when I wake up, I'll pull up the sleep component of the tracker and it'll tell you how long you've been in deep sleep, in REM sleep, in light sleep. It'll tell you what your temperature was in the evening, what your lowest heart rate was, what your heart rate variability, which not a lot of people are aware of, right? We know we want a low heart rate in general and to bounce back after exercise and have it drop. But the heart rate variability is a whole other new kind of measure that we've been tracking over the years. And we'll link back to an episode with Dr. Deb Smers, where she talked about this as well. But it's the difference between heartbeats. There's usually millisecond differences, and that's actually a good thing. And the more variability there is in your heart rate, like those milliseconds between heartbeats, it's a sign that your body's more resilient to, you know, stressors. It can bounce back. It can recover quicker. So it's a gauge of what we call our autonomic nervous system, which moves us in, you know, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. And we want to be resilient. We want to shift from one to the other, and especially from sympathetic to the rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system. So it tracks that while you're sleeping. So the higher the HRV number, the better you're doing in terms of sleep quality, quantity, activity in your day. It measures, you know, comparing your temperature, taking into account when you're, you know, potentially ovulating too, which they're starting to track now. And I can see my peak in temperature after ovulation, and I can feel myself warmer as well. So I'm finding it so fascinating. And then just to put things together, like, okay, yeah, maybe my sleep, I do get less REM sleep right before my period. Right now, I'm still not having alcohol, but so many people report, oh yeah, their REM sleep tanks when they have alcohol. They probably fall asleep a lot quicker, but they also might wake up a lot quicker. And if I eat too close to bed, then I know my temperature is a little bit higher. I'm not going to fall asleep as well. I might not get as much of a deep sleep. So I'm really conscious of not eating at least a few hours before bed. But what are you noticing with the Oura Ring, Toni?
Yeah, I really love using the Oura Ring, especially right now. What I'm really, really curious about is that idea of that resiliency, because much like, you know, our heart rate, we don't want to be flatlined when it comes to our heart rate variability. We want that heart rate variability. And especially now, I'm really curious about that resiliency and recovery, because like, you know, Lisa, yeah, I am recovering from COVID. I actually was COVID positive last week. Well, it's been over a week now, which was a little bit of a shock to me, but I kind of had started thinking about how it was almost felt like an inevitability, and especially right now with the Omicron variant. And it was interesting because I actually hadn't started using my Oura Ring before I tested positive. So I started using my Oura Ring once I developed some mild symptoms. I had, you know, sore throat, and then quite quickly got more fatigued and more achy. So knowing the crucial piece of sleep when it comes to how well our immune system functions, how well we can recover. I really wanted to make sure that I was getting a good quality sleep. So of course, I started using my Oura Ring, you know, as soon as that started happening. I don't know if you're using this, Lisa, and putting it on airplane mode very often. I really love that. That aspect of the Oura Ring, how you can put that airplane mode on so that you're not always, the ring isn't always trying to connect with your phone and, you know, it's just a little bit less, you know, EMFs for the body to have to deal with. So I love to put it on airplane mode. And then, you know, once, in the morning or even later in the day, I will, attach it again, connect it again so that I can check out my sleep, It's interesting because I've been doing a lot of resting, even when I'm not sleeping, with recovering. So sometimes the ring thinks I'm sleeping when I'm just kind of chilling out. There has been a lot of kind of chilling out and watching Netflix happening in this past
as it should. You know, we're right. So glad you're here with us today, Tony. And yeah, you definitely needed that rest time. And I'm glad you're feeling better and it wasn't too severe for you.
Yes, I'm really quite thankful and also, you know, quite thankful that, you know, a lot of moms out there I know have been worried about their kids during this pandemic. And while I wasn't necessarily super worried about Frankie, because with Frankie growing up, we've dealt with a number of different viruses. And I know that she's really great at developing a fever. Her fever can just shoot up there, which can be really freaky. And it was really freaky the first time that it happened to me. But then knowing that I have a number of different tools to use for naturopathic medicine, I'll definitely be talking more about using hydrotherapy, waters therapy, using homeopathy. Those are really key when it comes to, you know, dealing with fever in little ones. So I had that experience already. I wasn't too worried, but still, you know, you don't want your kids to suffer. You don't want them to feel bad. It can feel really, you know, helpless a little bit, but thankfully, you know, she got a fever. She was a little bit tired and achy. And she bounced back really quickly, actually quicker than I did. So yes, I'm super thankful, super grateful. Because again, you know, this idea of getting COVID, there's been a lot of fear around it. There's, and yes, some people, unfortunately, regardless of vaccination status, some people don't do well and some people just kind of breeze through it. You never know. So I'm just really glad that I had kind of all the tools. I was super prepared to just go through it and support my immune system, support Frankie's immune system to do what it needed to do to manage it. So
I love that you were getting the rest that our app was telling you. I actually was just looking up because I'm looking at the app to remember everything that's on it, but there is a rest mode, which I just found out.
Yes.
So you can put that on if you're feeling sick or tired or have jet lag or have an injury. I didn't see that before.
Yeah. And it actually even does give you the option of tagging yourself as recovering from COVID as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I put the rest mode on because, you know, what I really love about it is each person can set their own goals. Like, what is your goal? Is your goal to reduce stress? Is your goal to really look at your physical recovery and make sure that your performance is the best? So I wasn't too concerned about my physical fitness and, you know, exercising when I was recovering from COVID. So I did put it on rest mode. And when it's in rest mode, that's where it really isn't necessarily looking about at your recovery from your any kind of workouts or physical activity. So now that I'm just getting back into doing more walking and physical activity, I'll probably switch it out of rest mode soon. But right now, it's still in rest mode.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and that's where looking at the sleep piece and also, you know, it's you know, your general rating for your health is really great. So, and I was really almost kind of surprised to see that I was reaching in the 80s, even right. with recovering from COVID. And I think it really had to do with the rest, the sleep that I was getting, really just taking it easy and not pushing myself. I really had to keep reminding myself that there were some days when I was, you know, at home. So it was like, okay, let's try and do some work. Frankie was home, but I was just, and it was just a little bit too much. I did manage to get in a few meetings, but it really kept it to a minimum.
Yeah, it's a good reminder because you're talking about, yeah, the readiness score, which goes up to 100 and you want to be like 80, 83 and above. And it takes into account, yeah, your sleep, your temperature, your activity, your recovery, your heart rate variability. So that's amazing that you were listening to your body and getting the rest. And yeah, I do really like too that it has a reminder. So if you've been inactive for a little while, it'll pop up and say, you know, maybe you should get up and move. A little reminder pops up. And the activity is cool too, because you get to see how many steps you walk and then it compares it from day to day. And lately I've been getting, let me see what was yesterday. So a weekend day, I think I get over like 11,000 steps or no, even 20,000 some days. So like 11 miles of walking sometimes. I'm like, wow, that's great. But then
that's
they give
awesome.
You, yeah, I think I could see too that I needed more recovery time, you know, taking a day off from workouts and from really long walks. So that popped up for me too. But yeah, I like the reminder to get up and move if you've been sitting, although sometimes it's in a long car ride, so you can't do that. But you know, you use it as you can. And then it does track calories. I'm not a big calorie counter person, but it talks about, you know, how much with different activities and walking, how much you're burning. So some people really like to follow that too, but it's just some really good insight and I'm loving that. But you know, there's something to be said about old school tracking. I still give patients the option of tracking a food and symptom journal, like from printing off a Word document and them filling in the blanks, right? With what they're eating for each meal and snacks, their fluid intake, tracking their stools, giving them different ratings. If, you know, if they're bloated, they get 3+ if it's really bad, 0 if they don't have it, tracking their energy, time they went to bed, sleep quality. It really doesn't take that long. And a lot of people find benefit doing that at the end of the day. And there are some good online trackers for nutrition too, but I find people can get really hung up in the details. I'm not a huge calorie counter, but I really like myfitnesspal.com for people to track their protein intake. Because ladies in perimenopause and menopause, we have what's called sarcopenia. It sounds pretty scary, right? But it's actually like muscle wasting, which happens as we age, right? With our hormone changes, then our muscles start to become weaker. And, you know, we really want to support our muscle mass. So Andrea Prue, naturopathic doctor, Dr. Andrea, came on and talked about strength training and supporting fitness in women. We also want to support protein intake. And as women in perimenopause and menopause, a lot of times we're not getting enough. It doesn't have to be all animal protein, but I like people to use myfitnesspal.com to just see if they're getting the 1.2 to 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. So that could be like, you know, 150-pound person, could be like 80 grams, maybe to 90 grams of protein. I'm not doing the math exact, but it's a lot higher than people think. So we need to have that input of amino acids to support our muscles. So I usually ask patients to track their protein intake for 1, 2, or 3 days just to get a sense of their intake and then adjust accordingly with typically breakfast doesn't have enough, snacks might not have enough protein too. Do you ever use MyFitnessPal or what do you like to use for food tracking, Tony?
I've had a lot of my patients use my Fitness Pal, and actually, and a lot of them really liked it. I have recently heard that isn't as free, or there isn't a free version anymore, but I have had some patients use Chronometer. Another one. That's another option. I know that even in the past when, I would track my macros, my protein, my carbohydrates, my fat. I've even used like an old school Excel spreadsheet and then looked up some of that information on, I believe it's a website called Self Nutrition Data. I'll definitely link to that in the show notes. So that's an option too. And I'm definitely with you, Lisa. I'm not a big fan of really paying attention to calories, but also getting a sense of where you're at with your intake when it comes to calories, like even just with typical foods, can be really eye-opening for some people. So that's something to really kind of consider, is to even look at what are the foods that you eat on a regular basis, and really making sure that you have a sense of what the calorie intake is. And even more important, like you said, Lisa, the macronutrient content, especially with protein.
For sure. Yeah. Some patients are really surprised to see the grams of sugar is so high. The carbohydrate amount is like several hundred, and they may not need that much. And, their calories, I've had some people where it comes up to like 4,000 and they don't need that, definitely. So even for a few days, I don't always recommend people track every single day. But like you said, Tony, just getting a sense of your serving size and what you're eating for, on a regular basis, and then adjusting accordingly. And then maybe, in a few months, doing it again for a day or two to see where you're at, and really listen to your body and those satiety signals. That's a tongue twister, listening to your body, eating slowly, letting the hunger signals and fullness, letting the fullness signals fire so you feel satisfied, I find is useful too.
Definitely. And it's interesting also that you mentioned, Lisa, the temperature tracking and period tracking aspect of the Oura Ring. That was something that I didn't bother turning on because my period has been so irregular lately. It's interesting because I kind of was wondering if something was going on earlier this month. I wasn't necessarily expecting a period so soon, because I've definitely see myself more in later perimenopause. And that's definitely something that we've kind of talked about in more of our more recent episodes, about kind of where you are in perimenopause and what to expect in terms of your cycles and your periods getting more and more irregular. And definitely my constant and chronic tracking of my period really was helpful to really get a sense of that. I've definitely been a big fan of using a period tracker app, the period tracker app, the free version. There's a bunch of different tracking apps for period, MyFlow, and just so many different ones. I even in old school, even back before the apps, was using the charts that you can download from the takingchargeofyourfertility.com website. There's also a similar one that is available through SEMCOR, which is kind of a perimenopausal journal, that can be really handy to really see what's going on with your period. Where are you at? Are things still regular? Are your cycles shortening? Are your cycles lengthening? Are you starting to skip? I definitely had been starting to skip, but interestingly, I had quite a what would have been a really normal period years ago, but more abnormal for this time in my perimenopause before I got COVID. So I'm definitely going to be spending another year, 2022, in perimenopause, which I wasn't so sure about. And that's even where, with being more irregular, it didn't necessarily make sense to turn on the Oura Ring component of that, with with tracking my temperature, and I'm still using the period tracker app to keep track of what's going on and when I will actually reach that point of 12 months after a period and being officially in menopause. It's not happening yet.
Okay, you're still in the perimenopausal phase.
Yes, still that perimenopausal mama.
For sure, definitely. I know, we're eventually going to have to change the title, right? Menopausal mamas eventually. One perimenopausal and one menopausal mama, and then two menopausal mamas.
Hey, we still have at least another year. At least another year, Lisa.
That's right. That's right. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm old school. So I have dabbled in the period tracker apps, but I get kind of tired of being on my phone. Granted, I am now more with the Oura Ring with the trackers there, but I would use the perimenopausal journal that you mentioned, Tony, from SEMCOR. And I came across like a whole file of like months worth of data that I'd filled out those sheets. You know, print them off, fill them out. It's really quick and easy. And you can see trends and patterns as you look over the month. And then the old school, I've done the basal body temperature, you know, right when you wake up, roll over, put the thermometer under your tongue, have the piece of paper there, write your temperature down, especially as we were trying, you know, when we were trying to get pregnant, I was tracking it a lot to see when I was ovulating. And that's still useful information now, right? To see, you know, in perimenopause, are there certain months where you're ovulating and your temperature goes up by approximately 0.5, or are there months that you're not? And then seeing what are your symptoms like? How is your sleep? How is your mood? You can track all of those. So that can be really useful, but I'm pretty old school. And then I like an old school way for tracking water called the elastic band method. So let's say you have a favorite reusable water bottle, glass, or mug that you want to drink your water out of during the day. Measure it. So fill it up, dump it in a measuring cup, see how many mils are in there of water. And then let's say you're aiming to get about 2 liters. So you want to get half your body weight. So basically like your body weight in kilograms, that's how many ounces of water you want to drink, right? So half your body weight in pounds is how many ounces of water you want to drink. So, you know, 150-pound person might need just over 2 liters of water. So let's say you have a 500-mil cup that holds 500 mils of water. You want to drink 4 of those throughout the day. So you can put on 4 elastic bands. I've seen people where they put little bracelets on there. Every time you finish a glass of water, you either move the band to the bottom of the cup, or you can just take the band off the cup. And the goal is to have either all the elastic bands at the bottom of the cup or totally off the cup. And then you know how much water you've drank. So pretty technical, huh, Tony?
No, Lisa, I love that, using that idea, because, you know, I've seen some of those like big water bottles that you can kind of buy online that that measure how much water you're drinking. And most of those are plastic. And if you know me, you know that I do not like plastic. I'll link back to, you know, your wonderful episode with Emma Roman about, you know, how are plastic and plasticizers, even BPA-free plastic, contains plasticizers that will disrupt your hormones. And when we're in perimenopause, we don't want anything to disrupt our hormones. So using something like a glass and the elastic band method, I think it's fantastic. It's a great alternative to those big plastic water bottles.
Exactly. So try that out. And then if you do want more of a technological approach, there are apps to track your water intake and set reminders. So there's the WaterMinder app, Waterlogged, even just people filling out a food journal and symptom journal. If they're tracking their water, that can be really helpful too. So that's another way. And then one of my favorite, like, so we talked about Gretchen Rubin and the 4 tendencies and, you know, why people keep habits or why they don't. And I have more of the upholder tendency, which is like, you know, I can become pretty rigid when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it at all, you know, at all costs, maybe sometimes to my detriment. But in terms of a tracking method for for that, you know, when I was trying to meditate every day, it's now part of my routine. But when I started that out several years ago, I just had a little calendar that I had on my desk. And every day that I meditated, I'd like just put a little check mark. Some people will put little gold stars on the calendar. And when you see this, you know, the number of days in a row that you've done it, you don't want to break that chain. So you just keep doing it. So I've had patients do that for, you know, if they get their exercise in, if they get their walk in, if they have a healthy lunch, it could be anything, right? Getting to bed on time. So that can be a good method too. And I remember when I was learning to play the piano, our teacher had this chart, and every time, you know, we came each week, and if we practiced every day of the week, we'd get a star or a sticker of our choice on the chart. And I wanted to have a perfect score, if you will. So that kept me practicing. So those little hacks sometimes can make a big difference.
No matter how old you are as well, like there's still something to be said about the motivation of having that line of stickers that you don't want to break. So yeah, something so simple and easy, Lisa. And again, something that our kids can use as well too.
For sure. Yeah. So if Stuart, you know, does his chores, we had a chart for a bit, but we kind of fell off with schools being closed. And, you know, sometimes you just got to give up those things. But I think we'll bring that back because he was proud of the days he'd get the sticker, right? So if he was helping out, he'd get the sticker. And then all the stickers, if he got them at the end of the week, then he'd get his allowance. Now we kind of just give it to him. We've copped out a little bit. Things, we have to let things go, right? Sometimes,
yeah. And but we know the power of being able to see that, and for our kids to see what they've accomplished. It's the same with us. There's definitely a power to see what we've accomplished, and you know what we've accomplished and what we've done, and what we can continue to do, and maybe what we've kind of missed out on, and is we need to kind of get back on track with too.
Definitely. And one other way people use their bullet journal, which we've talked about, right? And they put little squares on each page to say like water intake, exercise, outside time, rest time, and whatever their goal is. If they do it that day, they'll check it off or put a certain amount or value in there. So some people find that really useful just in their daily journal, and they look back and they see what the trends and patterns are.
Yeah, another great way of doing that tracking, and again, using that bullet journal that Nicole North shared with us so long ago, and so grateful to have had you do that episode with her, Lisa.
Yeah, so remember, if you can track it, you can attack it. I know that's so cheesy. I'm sorry.
I love it. I love the cheese, Lisa. I love it.
Do you think we covered enough trackers for people to explore?
I think we got a good start to it. So I think that's good for people for now out there.
Awesome. So yeah, we can shift to the next part of the episode. And I was going to call you Stuart again. I recalled I did that another episode. I'm not even that sleep deprived, although Stuart woke up a few times last night. But Tony, I know you're doing a great job, especially, you know, you've been home, Frankie's been home. So I'm sure you have a good super mom moment to share.
Well, Lisa, I think my super mom moment this week is just actually getting through COVID and getting through a week of being home, resting, recovering, without too many meltdowns. Sure. Of course, there was a couple of meltdowns, but you know, I think we did a great job, and we didn't, and we still love each other. So
that's the important thing. We still want to be all together. Yeah.
We still want to be all together. I still love Frankie, and it's not killing me to be at home right now with her for one more day. So I think that's definitely like super mom moment, gold star mom.
I definitely agree, Tony. So pat yourself on the back. I'm sure, yay, you know, you're looking forward to the change in routine tomorrow. Book a massage or something for yourself. And I know so many moms out there are going through that. There's going to be times where, yeah, we're at home with our kids, they're sick, but we just do the best we can. So way to go, Tony.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lisa. And now, Lisa, I know that you are like a kick-ass mom. And do you have a mama mess up that you can share with us this week?
I do. Well, we had a really fun time tobogganing yesterday. We met his cousins outside and he was having fun. And then we played in the park after, but he bumped his lip. And I thought it was just like the skin was a little bit ripped and it was freezing cold. So I was like, let's just get back to the car. I felt like my hands were going to fall off. So in the car, I took a look and I just saw like a skin flap and I tried to rip it off. But he's like, well, you didn't get it. It still hurts. So I didn't realize until I got home that it was actually a little bit of a fat lip. And it was a little bit cut on the bottom. So I should have given him a little bit more TLC, but I honestly was so cold. I couldn't even think at that point. So I felt bad. He's okay. We didn't even have to do anything for it, but I think he just needed a little mom attention. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I got the skin. And he's like, oh, I still feel it. It doesn't feel right.
And you know, he survived. So that's sometimes maybe it's a little bit better, you know, when they have their bumps and bruises, not to put too much attention on it. So yeah,
a little bit of tough love, I guess.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh, well, he's okay. So it's all good. But and then Tony, what's your mama must have?
My mama must have for this week is, you know, what got us through dealing with all the symptoms of COVID and supporting our immune system. I've talked about hydrotherapy before. Definitely a huge, huge fan of the wet sock treatment, as well as doing steam inhalation and neti pot. So those are like my big three hydrotherapy tips and tools to use when supporting the immune system. So wet socks, even Frankie was doing wet socks and she's still asking me to do the wet socks. So you
love
take a
thin
pair of, love it. Thin pair of cotton socks, wet the foot, kind of wring it out so it's not like dripping, but it's, you know, damp. You put that on your feet, make sure that your feet are warm. You don't want to put wet socks on cold feet. You put the wet socks on your feet, your warm feet, when you're going to bed. You put a thicker pair of cotton or wool socks over top. You get into bed, you get all cozy, you get all covered up. And while you're sleeping, your feet will warm and dry the socks. It feels weird at first. It sounds strange, but it's really wonderful to really support your circulation and your immune system while you're sleeping. And it can even help to decrease congestion that you're experiencing in your nose and your head, can decrease headaches. So that's something that we were doing throughout the week. I was definitely keeping up with my neti pot and just to rinse out any kind of debris stuck in the nose and the sinuses, like especially when we're breathing through our nose, stuff gets caught in there. We don't want things to just stay there. We want to rinse it out. So using the neti pot can be really helpful. Doing a steam inhalation with eucalyptus. I'm still working on getting my smell back. So even using the eucalyptus, though, can be really helpful for just kind of clearing things out and reducing congestion. Increasing that that moisture into the nose and sinuses can be really helpful. For Frankie, her hydrotherapy was the wet socks, but also using my favorite xylitol nasal spray called X-Lear. They have some for kids. And while she's not a big fan of it, she would let me do it at least once a day. She might be more of a bigger fan of the wet socks. She wanted to choose which socks to use for her wet socks, and she's still asking to do it. So the hydrotherapy is key when it comes to dealing with any kind of symptoms from viral infections and really supporting the immune system, reducing those kind of aches and really helping your immune system clear what it needs to clear and you know do what it needs to do to fight off whatever you're exposed to. So you know, if I had a runner-up, it would, and maybe it's not a super runner up, it might be like a really, really close second, would be homeopathy. Homeopathy can be really so fantastic for adults and for kids to manage symptoms. And I mean, the one homeopathic that we were using a lot when it came to kind of achiness and feeling tired was bryonia. That could be a really great remedy to use whenever you have any kind of symptoms from a cold or virus where there is a lot of kind of muscle aches and tiredness involved. So bryonia was a big savior for us for the past week. So those are my two mama must-haves: homeopathy, and hydrotherapy.
Amazing. Yeah, those are such powerful tools and a lot of times overlooked, right? So I'm recommending a lot of those techniques and homeopathics with patients who are feeling under the weather, and it can make a world of difference. So thanks for sharing about your experience, Tony, and hopefully your smell comes back, but I guess you guys don't have to shower for a while.
I know. I've been really kind of keeping on top of it anyway.
Yeah, someone you'll like go out and so they're like, woo, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, but you know, I'm still practicing getting in those smells and tastes to keep training myself and getting that back. So how about you, Lisa? What's your mama must have?
Yeah, mine's a bit of an anticipatory mama must have because Stuart had so much fun yesterday. We did like a family hour of power where we tidied and he was using the big vacuum cleaner, which he does a great job, but it's hard to maneuver under tables and things. So I had to run some errands this morning and go to Service Ontario. So I picked up a handheld vacuum. So I think he's going to have a lot of fun with that. And then we can just like spot vacuum certain areas. We can vacuum the car. I can do the stairs more easily without this big bulky vacuum. So I guess I am pretty old if I'm excited about a handheld vacuum.
Lisa, maybe I'm old too, because that is an amazing idea. I love it.
So I'll let you know. It's anticipatory. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So I'll have to give you an update. I'll have to unpack it and let him go wild tonight.
For sure. I could have to try that for Frankie as well. I love that idea. Yay. Yay. So thanks so much, everyone, for joining us today. Again, you can find our show notes on our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. You can email us and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We would love for you to subscribe to the podcast. And if you enjoy this episode, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. That way other perimenopausal mamas can find us as well. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. Take care.
Take care. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.